Heyo, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am truly happy to welcome back to the show the drummer for Quiet Riot, excellent person, excellent drummer, Mr. Frankie Benali. Frankie, how are you?
I'm doing great, Brett. We Talk Music chat with you today.
That's right. So the reason that we're here today is to talk about the new album coming out November 8th called Hollywood Cowboys.
Yes, sir.
So, lots has changed because last time we talked about the live album. And so, I mean, lots has changed in your life since that point. But tell us about the album and just some of the things that went into the recording of it.
Well, I started writing songs with my songwriting partner, Neil Citron, almost immediately after we had completed the previous album, Road Rage. Those songs, the music evolved over about a year of time. You know, we were working on them on and off because I was very busy on the road with Quiet Riot. Neil and I did really, really good demos, which we then sent to Alex Grossi, who did some amazing guitar work on it, and then sent him off to Chuck Wright, who was always, a top-shelf bassist with Quiet Riot, and he added his bass DNA to it. And once I had that done, I sent all the material over to our previous singer James, and he felt comfortable writing to five of the songs, but the balance of the other seven songs were things that he was either not interested in writing to those, or they were foreign to him in musical style. So at that juncture, I had to make a decision as to what to do, because I wasn't going to go and go back and write songs, because I felt very strong about the songs we had written. So initially, I reached out to Jacob Button, who's my favorite writer. That's what he does for a living. And he wrote the lyrics and melodies to Don't Call It Love, In the Blood, which is the song for the new Quiet Riot video, which premieres this Friday, October 25th, as well as Heartbreak City and Devil That You Know. And oddly enough, those four songs in my mind were always going to be the first four lead-off songs on the record. And then there was a couple of other heavier tracks, Change or Die and Insanity. And the first person that came to mind was another dear friend, Neil Turbin, who's a great metal writer, and he wrote lyrics and melodies to those songs. And then there's the unusual blues track, Don't Roll On. And I reached out to a friend of mine and also somebody I work with. His name is August Young, and he's the singer in the Mr. Jimmy Band with Jimmy Sakurai. And he did a phenomenal job on that song. So once they did demos, I sent those demos out to James, and James basically just had to copy what was already there because it was so good. And I'm also grateful to Jacob and Neil and August because they also sang background on their respective contribution songs.
Well, there's no question in my mind, like the first four songs that you listed off there, they, I think, to me, are probably the most Quiet Riot of all the tracks. Like, as I hear them, and especially I hear your drumming, and then I hear just the sound of it, and I'm just like, wow, that feels really like a Quiet Riot vibe right there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I always try to make an effort to not copy what Quiet Riot has done in the past, but to have things that have sort of the same fabric as people are used to hearing from Quiet Riot. Call it hard rock, call it arena rock, whatever you want to call it. So I was very happy with those. But I also wanted to have, some different things on it, and Change or Die and Insanity are dramatically different from the previous four songs. They're heavier, both in content and sound. And I wanted to do a couple of double bass drum songs on the record, which I hadn't done in quite a while. And then the blues song is an unusual blues song because it's not your traditional, you know, let's say Led Zeppelin style blues song, but I think it's more in tune with maybe a Robert Plant influenced blues song. And August Young was just the perfect guy to write and do the background vocals to that song. So I'm very pleased with the way the material turned out. It's very varied across the board.
It absolutely is. And yeah, I remember when we got to track number 6, Roll On, and it's just like, wow, that is a blues song. And I was quite surprised. But, you know, I mean, it's an excellent song, and it certainly stands out to me as I think one of my favorites on the album.
Well, in this day and age, you know, you have to be conscious of you know, pleasing the fans, but you got to please yourself first. And there are no rules anymore. So I think, you know, if you want to do something that's really heavy, or if you want to do something that's blues based, that's a good thing in my mind. I mean, it keeps the band growing. It keeps the band moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think that's for you guys especially, that's one of those so important elements, is just to keep progressing forward. I mean, once James left, of course, and you brought Jizzy back, was that an easy decision?
Well, what ended up happening is when I became aware that that James wanted to quit, I had a couple of vocalists in mind that I was going to reach out to, you know, people that hadn't worked with Quiet Riot before. But the first person that I really wanted to reach out to was Jizzy, because he did great work with Quiet Riot for nearly 3 years, and I wanted to see if he might be interested in coming back on board. And I was very pleased to find out that that, you know, he was very happy to come back into the Quiet Riot camp. And you know, I've always liked Jizzy. I've always respected him. I've always loved the way he sings and his style and his stage presence. And he's a great performer. And he was always a great fit for Quiet Riot. So I thought that would be the first door I would knock on. And I'm happy with the way things turn out, because within 24 hours we had replaced, you know, one singer with a singer that we already knew would work well with Quiet Riot.
Yeah, because like, how important is that to be able to get the exact right fit? Especially because I mean you and Alex and Chuck have worked together for, you know, quite a while now. So I mean, you must have a good like shorthand. So it must be really important to have a singer on board that kind of can operate within the same kind of shorthand.
Well, the thing that's great about Jizzy is that, you know, he sings the Quiet Riot material really, really well, but he does it in his own style. He's not trying to be Kevin, God rest Kevin, because nobody can be Kevin.
For sure.
But he's his own personal, and he's his own performer, and he's got a very unique voice that just happens to be a really, really great hard rock fit for Quiet Riot.
Yeah, I mean, Jizzy is he's been on, you know, well, he's had a career for so long, and he's such an interesting vocalist as well. I mean, he's very distinct, I think, in his delivery. So that in itself helps. I mean, you could always tell Kevin. There's no question about that. But I think, you know, Jizzy does bring something totally different, and that's not a bad thing at all when you talk about this kind of thing.
No, I think it's great, and I think it's a great addition to Quiet Riot, both as a performer, but also as a vocalist. So I couldn't be happier with the way things turned out, given the difficult sets of circumstances.
Yeah, for sure. Well, now, one of the things I'm interested in, because with the new album just about to come out, and Jizzy taking over now, how many new songs, as you do start doing shows again? I know you're going to be playing at the Whiskey on October 26th, but you know, how many of the new songs wind up going into the set from now on?
Traditionally, I don't add any new material. Quiet Riot has never added any new material until the record comes out. And the record is not scheduled to come out until November 8th. And, you know, we're now in the last quarter of the year, where you can forget, playing the outdoor sheds and all the outdoor venues, because winter is, pretty much upon us. So we're winding down the year. We'll probably add at least one, possibly two songs from Hollywood Cowboys into the set for 2020. I've yet to discuss with the band, I'm going to let them know which songs I think are potential candidates for the live set, and I want to get feedback from Jizzy and Alex and Chuck, and see how they feel about those particular songs. So it's a work in progress, as Choir Ride has always been.
Yeah, was there ever a concern that Jizzy could how Jizzy would sing the new songs?
No, I mean, one of the things that I admire about Jizzy is, like I said, he's his own person and he's his own singer. So what I think is going to happen is I don't think he's going to copy what is on there, but what I think he will do is he will stay faithful to the songs and interpret it in his own style, which for me, it will be very refreshing.
Yeah, for sure. So, obviously, you said you're winding down your touring. Do you think then next year that you'll be able to kind of get on some larger tours, perhaps?
Anything is possible with Choir Ride. I stop saying, never this and never that, because I've learned that really is not the way to proceed. We already have dates already booked for 2020. And as I mentioned in the press release, that I'm going to be playing this Saturday, October 26th, at the Whiskey A Go Go, and possibly the remaining two shows after that to finish out the year. And because we're coming upon the Thanksgiving break and the Christmas holiday, and people will concentrate on those things rather than are they going to go out to see a rock show. So looking forward to finishing out the year, and very much looking forward to starting 2020 with Choir Riot.
Yeah, for sure. Now, obviously, I don't want to get into your health problems per se. People can read the press release, but I'm interested in how did it feel for you to actually have to miss playing shows with Quiet Riot?
It crushed me, because I had never missed a Choir Riot show in my entire career, going back to even when it was the Dubrow Band in 1980, 81, and 82. So it absolutely crushed me, but my doctors said that it was impossible for me to fly to the show. So I actually, after I had my first biopsy, a few days later, I flew and did a show in Florida in April. And then after 2 days after my second biopsy, I flew and did the M3 Festival, which was the last show that I did. But after that, the surgeons and the oncologists and my medical team said, you can't risk going out on the road, because it could potentially end things for you. And I had to pay attention to that. But I also wanted to make sure, all my guys have families and they've got financial responsibilities, so I wanted to make sure that the band would be able to continue and earn a living in lieu of me being out on the road. And I was greatly criticized for not being out on the road, because everybody thought that I was just, sitting at home and having a good old time and just cashing in on the band's name, which was clearly not the case. But my diagnosis was April 17th, and I waited until yesterday to go public, because I wanted to see how the situation was going to develop. And rather than just go out there and say, I'm dealing with this situation, I wanted to see how it was going to progress one way or the other.
Well, yeah, of course. And I mean, it must have been so hard to tell the fans as well, and to figure out how best to do that.
Yeah, there's no blueprint for this. There's no guidebook for this, and every person who sadly has to deal with this type of a disease has to do it their own way. And I wanted to do it on my own terms.
Well, I'll just say, as a cancer survivor myself, I appreciate you know, the dignity that you're showing in your fight, and I certainly wish you all the best in it.
Well, God bless you for that, and you know, as I've mentioned before, I am incredibly touched with the amount and the level of support and prayers and well wishes that I've received across the board and across the world. And I want everybody to know that it means so much to me that it just gives me even more strength to continue the fight and continue Choir Riot.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, how awesome is it to be a part of this band that is, you know, that is a part of pop culture, that has really become such a part of the fabric of the music industry, especially of the Sunset Strip era and stuff like that, you know, and to really, you know, you are the keeper of that legacy.
Well, I have a responsibility to the guys in the band to continue Choir Riot, and I have a responsibility to the fans to continue Choir Riot to the best of our abilities, and to always treat the fans with you know, a lot of respect. We're really, really fortunate to have a fan base that goes back as early as 1982, and now even to younger fans that weren't even alive when the Mental Health record was released. And I take that very, very seriously, because without the fan help and the fan support and the fan love, there would not be a Choir Riot. So I'm very grateful, and I'm always very conscious of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget, because when I got the cassette of Mental Health back in the day, and it was just, you know, so excited, and you know, I love the album, and just being able to get the other albums as they came out, and of course being in Canada, I actually some of the middle ones, like especially when you get around Terrified, were a lot harder for me to find. So I actually had to travel to the U.S. to wind up being able to get the albums at that point. I mean, things have changed so dramatically now with the way that we're able to consume and get new music, but back in those days, I mean, you know, if there was a band that I really liked, I had to travel, and you know, Quiet Riot was one of those bands.
Well, you know, it was amazing when you mentioned that, because, you know, try to picture this: Choir Riot playing in Medicine Hat and playing material from both the 1993 Terrified album and the 1995 Down to the Bone, you know, in essentially a city and an area that's even foreign to Canadians. So, you know, we, as much as you went to the U.S. to get those records, we went deep into Canada to play those songs.
Yeah, for sure. And I know, I mean, because I've seen you guys live. It was actually a small show in Calgary in a club one time. And I actually remember, because I was sitting at one of the tables, and I looked over to the side of the stage in the booths that were at the side of the stage, and I'm like, those guys have, oh, look, that's Frankie.
You know, I have a policy that whether you're playing a small club or you're playing a huge arena, if there's one fan there, he's as important as 10, 20, 30, 40,000 fans, and you have a responsibility to that fan to not phone it in and not take it seriously because you're playing in a smaller place. That fan deserves the same level of intensity and the same level of Choir Riot commitment as the larger venue. So we've never phoned it in.
No, and I think that's one thing that I noticed from that show, is that there is no question. I mean, when you guys came out, it was you know, full blast. It was bombastic. It was, and I mean, Kevin, so wonderful to see live. What an amazing performer. I mean, you're so blessed to be able to have worked with him.
I was lucky to you know, sit behind the drums and have Kevin in front of me, being as great as he was for 27 years, and it's something that I will miss for the rest of my life. I will be grateful for those 27 years for the rest of my life, and I'm incredibly grateful that Choir Riot has been able to continue in his memory and in his spirit.
Now, to go back to the new album, and especially the new video, you talk about In the Blood, and of course that comes out on the 25th. I went onto YouTube, and it was just like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's two more days, so I gotta wait. Because it looks fantastic. I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly. Picture of you with the cowboy hat on. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, Hollywood Cowboys totally fit. So what can fans expect from the video?
Well, you know, the video is a product of an interest that both my wife and I, we love spaghetti western, you know, those 60s and 70s Sergio Leone productions. So it was inspired by that. She wrote and directed and produced the video, and it was a lot of fun to do. And I personally did not want to do, you know, a video that was just, a bunch of guys on stage performing, you know, with all the amps and all the drums. There's nothing wrong with that, but I didn't want to do that. And I also didn't want to budget low and do one of those green screens where you're just in front of a green screen and then you just have all these graphics and things behind you. I wanted to create something that was different than Choir Ride has done before and different than I think any other band has done before. So there's performance in the video, but there's also a storyline in the video that goes along with the lyrics of the song.
I mean, it's always great, and I know from as a fan from way back, it's always great when you're able to see bands and do the story videos and stuff like that. Those were always the ones that I remembered at the end of the day. Like, when it's 2 years later, 3 years later, it's just like, oh, remember that music video that so-and-so did? And it's the ones with the stories that always come to mind, for sure.
Yeah, you know, to me, you know, it goes back to what we tried to do on the Metal Health video and the Come On Feel the Noise video, and especially the Wild and the Young video, which were not your typical videos even for their time. So we wanted this to be an extension of that and have it be more cinematic than just, you know, another back-in-the-day MTV video.
Yeah, and then of course you got the cover, which has that kind of comic art look to it. Still the mask, of course, very, very important to Quiet Riot. So tell me a little bit about the cover.
Well, the cover really is inspired by some of the 60s and 70s Western film posters. But of course, you know, I wanted to incorporate the mask into it because that has been something that's been on every Choir Ride record with one exception. So, you know, we wanted to have that look. And, you know, I've received some mild criticism from some of the really hardcore heavy metal fans because, you know, they think that the cover should reflect some kind of, you know, heavy metal blood and guts, you know, gothic, you know, hammer of the gods and a sickle and all that kind of stuff. But that's not really what this record is about. So, some people like it, some people don't. And, you know, hopefully when they see the video, they'll be able to make a connection. And if they don't, they never will.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's called Hollywood Cowboys. I don't like to me, the connection is just it seems really obvious in that regard. But hey, to each their own. Everybody's got their opinions, right?
Well, here in the U.S., you know, I think with the whole Americana thing, and especially from my generation, you know, we were watching cowboy movies at the movie theaters and Gunsmoke on TV, and I think pretty much every little boy in the U.S. that's from my generation wanted to be a cowboy, and essentially it would have to be a Hollywood cowboy because a lot of these things were created for the cinema. And so, you know, we wanted to have a link to our childhood, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. So I just want to ask just a couple more things here. And one, like, how important is the mask to the mythos of Quiet Riot? Because I know that there's, like, you look at Iron Maiden and they have Eddie and stuff like that. But I mean, being able to associate certain things with certain bands. And absolutely, the mask is so important to be associated with Quiet Riot.
Well, you know, Kevin and I made a conscious decision when the band was still Dubrow and we were in the studio recording tracks for what became, you know, the Quiet Riot Mental Health record. We made a conscious decision not to have a picture of the band members and on the cover, on the front cover, because even as early as then, we were having you know, personnel changes happening all the time. So we wanted to have something that was iconic, that could stay with the band throughout the history of the band, irregardless who the membership was. So it was a conscious decision to have an entity, as you mentioned, sort of like Eddie for Iron Maiden, that would represent the band, irregardless of what the makeup of the band could be at any point in time.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes good sense. And I think, so many bands try that, but it doesn't necessarily hit all the time. And in your guys' case, it absolutely hits. So, and I mean, it's just so ubiquitous when it comes to Quiet Riot, which is awesome.
Well, it worked out well for us because, you know, the album, the first album was titled Metal Health, and so you have this guy in a straight jacket with a metal mask so he doesn't, you know, hurt himself banging his head, and it just evolved from there, and it took a life all of its own.
Awesome. Well, Frankie, I know I'm running out of my time with you right now, but I just want to give you the chance to tell the fans where to find you, where to find the new album when it comes out, and just how to get in touch with Quiet Riot if they want to.
Yeah, they can always reach out to my own personal Facebook page, and there's the Quiet Riot Facebook page, and we're on Twitter and every social media known to man now or in the future.
Well, the new album is Hollywood Cowboys. It's an awesome album. I urge fans to check it out. It comes out November 8th. Of course, you got the music video In the Blood, which comes out on October 25th, so certainly very busy. And of course, you got the Whiskey A Go-Go show on the 26th. So yeah, lots of Quiet Riot stuff going on. Frankie Benelli, once again, awesome guest. I wish you all the best in the future. My best to you and your family for your health. And just thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Brett. And it was a pleasure that we had the opportunity to talk music today.
Well, it's always a good time, and anytime you want to come back, we are a phone call away.
Sounds great. You know how to find me.
All right. Thanks a lot, Frankie, and all the best.
Thank you, my friend. And again, thank you for supporting Quiet Riot. It means the world to me and the band.
Yeah, well, I'll still be here as long as you're here.
Sounds great, my friend.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Be well.
Right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Hate or is it love? 'Cause girl, you feel so right, you know how.